Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hello, you fool, I love you. Come on, join the joyride.
Wills in the Morning is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Save thousands on over 300 new vehicles at the Fleet Cancellation Special Purchase Event. You could win a $15,000 car of cash. Shop or geo shops. VarsityChrysler.com.
I'm a terrible dancer.
You're a terrible dancer? Well, let's see.
No, I can't. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I've got nothing. I always relied on my cool.
In a wonderful balloon.
Anaheim, California is where we find Derek Wills today. Take us through yesterday, the day that was for you and the Flames.
Well, it was a bit of a long day. We had practice yesterday morning, 10:30 at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, and it was a fairly full practice. There were a few guys missing. I'm sure we'll touch on that at some point in time during our conversation. But after that, bus ride to the airport for the guys, and then hop on a plane, and a bit of a delay in our flight leaving Calgary, and I got into Anaheim a little bit late as a result. And as I'm sure you guys know, traffic can be a bit of a nightmare here, and traveled across the city to get to the team hotel, and checked in around, I would say, 5 p.m. So a bit of a long travel day, but everybody got settled in and is good to go.
And that's about it? Players off to their rooms and that's it for the night, or what happens then?
Well, I'm quite sure that a bunch of guys probably got together and went out for a dinner. I'm not sure if they had a team meal. I know that that's something they did going into the Canucks series, but I'm sure if they didn't have an organized team meal, a bunch of guys probably got together, had dinner, and tried to get as much sleep as they could. They're going to need it against these Ducks.
They didn't have a team meal? What?
Well, they may have. I don't know.
Well,
I wasn't invited, so how would I know?
We're trying to determine what's going to be the biggest factor. Goaltending, power play, penalty kill. What are your thoughts?
It's a good question, and I think for the Flames to win this series, they're probably going to have to be really good in all of those areas. If you look at what happened in the first round, the Ducks, whose power play struggled during the regular season, really came to life. As a matter of fact, there are only two teams ahead of them, the Capitals and the Flames, in postseason power play percentage. So I think that'll be a factor. Although, Brett, are calls tougher and tougher to get as the postseason goes on?
Pardon me?
Like getting calls, like penalties.
Ooh.
Are they tougher to come by as
you got to remember when I played, Wilsey, you were on the hook and hold and scratch and claw. I mean, you turn on the 1999 playoffs and you watch it, and it's just pure mayhem out there compared to today's game.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they put it away, and I agree with putting it away a little bit, the whistle. I think it's better hockey when you let them play and work through stuff.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we saw a little bit of that in the Canucks-Flames series. They called more at the start of the series than they did at the end of the series, and certainly more after what happened late in Game 2. But, yeah, I think that might be a little factor in this series. The Ducks are a big, strong team and can lean on you and have postseason experience and know what they can and can't get away with. So we'll see if that's a factor. Goaltending really is an interesting story for me because you've got Jonas Hiller, who played 7 seasons for the Ducks, and the guy's had a smile on his face ever since he found out they'd be playing the Ducks in the second round of the playoffs. So I think he's really looking forward to this challenge. And Frederik Andersen looked good against the Jets, and he's a guy who doesn't have a postseason history, really, outside of last year, and a guy who I think some people still wonder about. I know I do. I'm not saying he's not a good goaltender. I'm not saying that, you know, they can't win the Stanley Cup with this guy. I guess we just don't know at this point in time. I think one thing for me that I'm looking for are X factors. And I think in the first round for the Flames, a couple of guys were really X factors. Sam Bennett, we didn't know what to expect from an 18-year-old with one regular season / preseason game under his belt. And I thought he was terrific in that series. And then the other guy was his line mate, Michael Ferland, who really continued to emerge. So in the second round, I'm looking for some more X factors. And one guy who I think could potentially be one is Michael Backlund, because I thought Backlund played really well in the first round, but only ended up with a point despite having a team-high 18 shots. So I'm wondering if maybe he's due to break out offensively for the Flames.
What do we know about potential injuries? It sounds like there's guys that weren't skating the last couple days that we thought were probably healthy until we didn't see them skating. I think David Jones and Schlemko would top that list. Any other guys didn't skate that caught your eye yesterday?
Yeah, well, there's three guys. So there's the two guys who play wing for Michael Backlund, and we've got David Jones and Michael Ferland. So those are the two forwards, and then David Schlemko on the back end. So those three guys did not participate in practice yesterday, and I think my broadcast partner, Peter Labardi, has put it perfectly yesterday. There's a red flag that's raised when there's something that doesn't go according to plan and something that is a little off as far as the schedule is concerned. And going into the first round was Sean Monahan and Yuri Hudler. So now they're back practicing on schedule, so that certainly is a good sign. But those three guys, I think, are a bit of a concern, although Bob Hartley did say yesterday that they all will play for the Flames in Game 1 against the Ducks tonight. So those are the three guys who are a little bit banged up. Now, the other thing I'm wondering about, fellas, is watching the line rushes yesterday. Now, it was tough because you had two forwards out, so guys were kind of mixed and matched a little bit. But they had Mason Raymond playing up on the second, what I would call the second line. And they had Drew Shore playing the right side of what I would call the fourth line where Mason Raymond was playing. So I'm wondering if that's a potential change for Game 1 tonight.
The Schlemko one is curious to me. It's going to be really tough to roll with four defensemen with last change in Anaheim if he's not able to play at the level he has. He's been quite a find considering he was on the waiver wire when they found him.
Oh, absolutely. He's been terrific for them. And he was fighting something late in the last round, and I'm told it was a cold or a flu, and I guess he came into the hot stove lounge and was kind of sniffling a little bit, so that makes a lot of sense. But Schlemko, really good for them. Didn't play as much in Game 6 as he had in the first five games of the series. I think he was around 8.5 minutes in Game 6, but a guy who averaged almost 13 minutes in Round 1, and that's despite playing with a defense partner who was playing under 5 minutes, whether that guy be Corey Potter in the first couple of games of the series or Tyler Wotherspoon in the final four. So when you look at the Ducks defense corps, it might not be as explosive as the Flames offensively, but they've got a lot of depth back there. And preparing for Game 1 yesterday on the flight, I was looking at their roster, and they've got 14 defensemen on their roster, 14, which is crazy to me. And only six of them played in the first round, but you look at the balance, none of their defensemen averaged under 18 minutes of time on ice. You know, Francois Beauchemin leads the pack. He's around 23.5 minutes. But, you know, they kind of use all three defense pairings just about the same amount of time. So in a long series and in a long playoff season, that can certainly be an advantage. But, you know, Bob Hartley said before that he's not worried about the minutes that his top four guys are playing because he wants to have his best players on the ice more often. So we'll see how that works in the second round.
We chatted about it this morning, and I agree with Hartley. I would say, and my guess would be, that the 22, 23, 24 minutes, whichever it is across those top four, the 24 that they played per night against Vancouver, going to be a different and more difficult 24 against the Ducks.
That's a great point. And it's going to be a tough series. I mean, this team, like the Kings and like the Sharks kind of used to be, but like the Jets now, the Blues, they're big and they're strong and they play heavy hockey. And that can wear you down over the course of a series. But the one thing about the Flames' top three guys, Dennis Wiedemann is very smart. He's not as quick as Chris Russell or TJ Brody, but he's very smart, and he does a good job trying to avoid body contact when a guy's trying to run him into the end boards or into the corner. And Russell's really slippery. I find that he's really difficult to hit, so that, I think, helps him stay healthy and helps him stay somewhat fresh despite all the ice time he's getting. And TJ Brody's just got great feet, and he can get out of the way of a lot of body checks. So I think the fact that those guys seem to be able to avoid getting crunched into the end boards regularly helps them play as many minutes as they do and play as effectively as they do.
Well, people are nervous. It's a nervous time. We need to get this game going because if you just continue to look at numbers and standings and Getzlaf, Perry, Kessler, it'll kind of psych you out. So you get on the ice and let's get this thing going, right? Because this is This is how upsets happen.
Any advantage to be had for the amount of time the Ducks have had off?
I think there could potentially be some advantage there, Rhett. And you know, talking to some of the coaches and players about it, there might be an advantage early in game one. I mean, it's been a week since the Ducks have played. The Flames have been on the ice a little bit more recently than that. So if there is an advantage, I think it's early in game one, but it's an advantage that I think goes away after that. So we'll see if the Flames can take advantage. I'm sure you've kind of been on both sides of it, Rhett. What do you think?
I think it's terrible hard to try and play after 8 days off. I mean, if they come out flying, I would be surprised. It just doesn't happen very often. You get that much time off, and usually it takes you a little while to get your legs going. So if you're the Flames, you try and jump on them early and get a lead, because I would expect they'll be a little bit flat.
It's one of those things that I think would benefit you maybe later in the series, or certainly later in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but maybe not in game one. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Derek, I got one for you. We've been talking so much about matchups and which line's going to go against what and which D pairing is going to face which trio. Is that overblown? If you're the favorite, if you're the Ducks, are you really that concerned with matchups? Is it something we've seen coaches less and less concerned with, especially if you're a favorite as big as the Ducks are?
Yeah, maybe not quite as important for the Ducks. Like I said, their defense pairings pretty much play the same amount of minutes. And they've got four lines that can really come at you. I mean, they might want to try to get matchups against the Flames. Well, the Flames don't even really have a line that you can attack necessarily. It'll be interesting to see if the Ducks, Bruce Boudreau, tries to get matchups against potentially the Flames' number one line with either the Getzlaff line or the Perry line. Because early in the series against the Canucks, it looked like both head coaches were happy with top line versus top line. And then Willie Desjardins got away from that, and then it ended up being Matt Stajan's line matched up against the Sedin line, which worked out pretty well for the Flames, I think it's safe to say. So I'm not sure how important matchups are going to be in this series. I think it's one of those things you have to watch and see if it evolves that way, but I don't know. We'll see. The Ducks have last change in the first two games, and I think that'll give us a pretty good indication, because if the Flames put a line on the ice and then Boudreau uses last change to get another line out there, then I think that's a tip that he probably is looking for certain matchups, but I'm not sure how important they are going in.
All right, Derek, we got to run. Enjoy tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, and hopefully it's about a big Flames win.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
Wills in the Morning is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Save thousands on over 300 new vehicles at the Fleet Cancellation Special Purchase Event. You could win a $15,000 car of cash. Shop or geoshops. VarsityChrysler.com.
Quick break, and back to Anaheim we go. Our NHL insider is Eric Dehatchik in Anaheim, readying for this game tonight. So again, more Flames-Ducks chatter next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Dehatchik is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Get into a 2015 Kia Sorento LX all-wheel drive and pay just $25,800 or finance for $79 weekly. Barlow and 23rd Northeast or EastsideKia.ca.
Coming up before 9 o'clock, we'll do what you want to talk about. Get your thoughts in on this game day. 8 o'clock start in Anaheim, 7 o'clock warm-up. You know how the deal is. Time for Eric Dehatchik, who is so excited. He decided to leave Calgary and go to Anaheim. A tough break, but how are you handling it?
Well, not bad. You know, I wasn't the only one. I mean, our flight was packed last night. Roger Millions was on it, Jermaine Franklin, Wes Gilbertson. You know, I mean, there's probably ten people traveling for hockey. So.
We weren't.
Were they signing autographs? 8x10 glossies? Were they besieged by fans?
There was a few, yeah. There was a few. You know, Roger's a pretty recognizable guy. So is Jermaine. So I'm one of those anonymous radio/newspaper guys. So less people know that.
Hall of Famer.
Hall
Eric.
Of Fame. Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I don't. There isn't like a stamp or a jacket that goes with that.
Why is? What do you mean? I thought everyone got a jacket when they. No.
Well, you know what? Well, you get a blazer. Yeah. But you only wear the blazer when you go to a Hall of Fame event. So I don't even have mine in Calgary. I keep it in Toronto in the closet at my mom's condo. So whenever I fly down there for, you know, the induction ceremonies or our meetings in June, I wear it those 2 days. That's it, you know. So it's in pretty good shape, I have to tell you, for, let's see, 14 years. Wow.
I would not have ever taken it off.
Yeah, I'd have ketchup, mustard all over it. The arms probably fell off.
And it would be the third one. I would have had to. I'm the guy that would have had to go back and say, well, yeah. Can I get it?
Because of damage and girth growth.
Right. You can't have me showing up at these events where... Wearing this jacket, looking like
wearing
this.
A rag, yeah, exactly.
Is well, that?
There are some people in our association who have gotten a lot larger after they've won. I don't know what they do.
Yeah,
but I think I'm exactly the same size, so that's probably a good thing.
So this is one of those series, Eric, where I would think from the outside you look in, it's like, okay, well, what are we? The analysis of this series. Well, the Flames are going to have to be very good. The mm-hmm. Ducks are quite good. Ducks probably win this one in 5 or 6 or 4 or what have you. Can you formulate a argument as to why that is incorrect and is not going to be the case?
Yeah, I think you can make a case. When you get down to the final 8, you can make a case for anybody winning anything, you know, because now the hard part is over. Like, the hard part in Calgary was making the playoffs, and the hard part was winning a round. I mean, they hadn't made the playoffs in 6 years. They hadn't won a round in 11 years. So now you're playing with house money. So I think it changes the mentality. It's like, I don't know, I play a lot of tennis, and when you get a set in the ahead, all of a sudden, you know, your confidence grows. And you know, you can make, you're like Roger Federer out there, you know, because you're playing with confidence and you're playing with the lead. And I really think these two games down here matter in the sense that if the Flames can get a split, I think it's an eminently winnable series. I mean, the salary cap era has created a situation where there's an awful lot of really good teams in the National Hockey League, but no great teams. And so this is something that, you know, if you talk to general managers around the league privately, virtually everyone will say the same thing. You don't fear anyone anymore. You know, people didn't fear Los Angeles this year the way they feared them in the past. It's like, uh-oh, here's Los Angeles. Or even Chicago. You know, Chicago's in the final 8 again, and, you know, they've got Kane back, and they're clicking even with that. But, you know, well, they're goaltending. They haven't got that sorted out, you know, and their depth isn't what it once was. And so I think that anything is possible. And, you know, you look at Anaheim. To me, the one thing, we're going to the morning skate later today, and it looks like the healthy scratches are going to be Jiří Sekáč, Thomas Fleischmann, James Wisniewski, and Corbinian Holzer, right? So what's the common thread? They made all these deals at the trade deadline. They brought in all this depth, and the reality is they've gone back to the guys that brung them, right? You know, the four main guys that they got at the trade deadline, and Anaheim was one of the most active teams. They won't be in the lineup. Fleischmann played in the last series, but it looks like Nate Thompson is healthy, and they like what he brought when they brought him in, and so he's going to be their fourth line center. And all these, you know, ballyhooed additions at the trade deadline, not playing.
Why isn't Wisniewski playing? I mean...
Yeah, you know what? It's a great question. And I thought that they might put him in. They just like Stoner's size. Essentially what they've got a really good defense. I mean, when Vatanen came back from the injury, their power play got better. So, you know, you think about Anaheim, you think, okay, that's a team whose power play should be great, right? Of course it should be, but it hasn't been, or it wasn't for that period of time that Vatanen was injured. So he came back, and he's like Reho Rautsalainen. You know, he's a guy that is dynamic out there. So they like him because he moves the puck really well, and even though he's a bit of a little guy, he's really skilled. And Lindholm is one of these great young Swedish defensemen that has come in and just set the league on fire. And Cam Fowler is a terrific player. And then they like the experience of Beauchemin, and they like the physical size of Stoner. So essentially they've got the opposite problem of Calgary. You know, Calgary's got three guys that are, you know, really, really logging the heavy minutes. And, you know, and Englund's been good, and you know, they trust Schlemko to play a little bit. But, boy, they can't afford to lose one of the big three, whereas Anaheim is in a position where, you know, if they lost somebody, they've got a guy that scored 34 points in the National Hockey League and played about 21 minutes in Columbus. But I just think that he hasn't, you know, they had hoped that when Vatanen was out that he would be the guy to come in and, you know, and play those power play minutes. Power play wasn't good. And so, you know, they just they don't they couldn't find and they haven't found a role for him. And so, but that's a pretty good player to be healthy scratching, right? I mean, it's if the theory is that the playoffs are a war of attrition, and when you're in the third round and the fourth round, somebody's going to get hurt. That's a pretty good guy to be able to turn to.
I think the Flames would probably take him right now.
I think he could play a top 4 minutes for the Flames.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? It's one of those other the one deadline deal that has worked for them seemingly is Simone Dupre.
Yes, yeah, and he's the guy that is playing. Again, I think they just he's a young guy, and the one thing about Anaheim is, with the exception of Wisniewski, which was a targeted player, like Sekhach is a guy that's still pretty young, a guy that they think can get better, and Dupre, I think, is a guy that can get better. Fleischmann, that was an interesting one. I think that Boudreau loved him, right? I mean, when Fleischmann came up, he played for Boudreau in Hershey, and then he played for him in Washington, and he had terrific years. And I think when he left to go to Colorado as a free agent, it was because he was an in-demand free agent. Then he had the issues with the blood clots, and I think that because of his history with him, Boudreau put the bug in the general manager Bob Murray's ear that this is a guy that I trust and that I like. And then since he's been there, I think they found that he isn't the same player that he was. And the time has taken its toll on him, and the injuries have taken its toll, because they've been trying so many different guys up there with Getzlaff and Perry. I mean, it's like audition after audition after audition. I think finally they've just decided that, they'll live with Patrick Maroon there because he's a big body and he's a guy with a reasonable amount of skill. At different times Palmieri's played there, at different times Bolesky's played there. In this series right now, anyway, it's Maroon, and it looks like Bolesky's on the second line with Kessler and Silverberg, and a guy who's really valuable sort of secondary player for them is Andrew Cogliano, the ex-Oiler, who's their Masterton nominee, and I think he has the current NHL Ironman streak, and he's just a guy that has become like a thoroughly good NHL professional. A little guy, it reminds me a little bit of, when you think about Anaheim and you think about all that size up front, the one exception is Cogliano. He's just a darting guy who you talk to the people around here, he scored big goals for them and made big plays for them all year. He's become like a real favorite of not just the coaching staff, but the team. And he's been around long enough that, in the absence of Solani and Koivu, there was a bit of a leadership void there. They needed to have secondary leadership beyond what Ryan Getzlaff was providing, because, you always have those leadership circles in the dressing room. And I think Cogliano is a guy this year who has stepped up and done that. A pretty interesting guy. Somebody that, there's a million off days in the story, in the series. Might be a guy that, I'm thinking about, might be a good feature just to sort of see his career arc and where it's gone, because I think he's become quietly a really important player for them. And I don't think that's maybe noticeable from the outside necessarily.
What type of series are you expecting? Are we talking a high scoring? Is it going to be defensive? Is it going to be a smash and crash kind of series? I'm not sure what to think.
Yeah, I don't know either. I guess there's questions about both of the goaltenders. Anderson's numbers are they're good. I mean, he won a lot of games this year, but he doesn't have the best save percentage. He doesn't have the best goals against average, and that's kind of been Jonas Hiller this year too, a bend but don't break style of goaltending. So not the lights out Carey Price goals against average under two, and I think that both teams are capable of scoring. So yeah, I think potentially it could be, I put it this way, I'd be surprised and probably disappointed if we had a bunch of 2-1 games. I think that this has the potential to be a back and forth and 4-3 games, and all of us in the analysis business are seizing on the fact that both of these teams have this cardiac kids ability, right? So Anaheim has 12 come from behind wins. Calgary has 10. Both teams during the first round of the playoffs came back from deficits. Calgary won 2 coming from behind Anaheim. I think the first 3 wins they were trailing going into the third. But somebody's got to get the lead, right? I mean, if you're going to have a comeback, somebody's got to get out in front. So I don't know. Generally, that's the rule of thumb. You want to score the first goal and get out in front, and this is the one series where, it may not matter that much. So I'm hoping that it is as dramatic as the last one, because, I didn't see as much of the Anaheim-Winnipeg one, but everybody that watched it, and you know what you see on the highlights, it was really entertaining. You know, it was hard hitting, and the same with Calgary and Vancouver, surprising amount of body contact, and lots of goals in some of the games, and really fun to watch. And I'm hoping it's more of the same.
Thoughts on the other series starting tonight? Any chance Ovechkin can go in and lead the Caps past the Rangers?
I don't see it. It would be nice, you know. I mean, I like Barry Trotz a lot, the coach in Washington. You know, Ovechkin's track record has been, you know, an effective regular season player year after year after year, less effective in the playoffs. And so I, you know, I mean, it's interesting the way it's set up for New York, because in the last series they would have had to game plan against Crosby, you know, one of the face of the National Hockey League. In this series they have to game plan against Ovechkin, the other face of the National Hockey League. And you know, Washington has Backstrom, and Pittsburgh had a beat up Evgeny Malkin, who didn't do anything, and I guess it's because he had an ankle injury and couldn't do anything. So I don't know. I don't have a ton of faith in Washington. I wasn't sure actually that they'd get through the first round, but I just think New York has more of everything right now than Washington does, and including a bit more rest. And so I don't see that series. I put it this way: if Washington wins, I would consider that a significant upset.
I'm just going to double back, and this isn't really a question as much as it is just an observation. You talk about Bob Murray, and you think you don't hear a lot about Bob Murray when you talk about the best GMs in the league.
Right.
But let me run down the body of work here. You go back to the 2012 draft; they picked up Hampus Lindholm and Frederik Andersen. They, the year prior, got Rickard Rackel and John Gibson. Prior to that, Emerson Edom, Cam Fowler in the 2010 draft. Go back a year prior, Sammy Vatanen came in. 2008, drafted Jake Gardner in the first round, used him in the trade to bring back Francois Beauchemin. Eric Tangrady, he's playing. He was a draft pick in 07. Matt Bolesky in 06. They traded a second to get Andrew Cogliano. They picked up Patrick Maroon in a nothing trade in 2010. The Kessler deal has worked out. The Bobby Ryan trade has worked out. This has been quite a, if not a fleecing, but what impressive work. And then you go back to the drafting that got Getzlaff and Perry in the same round. It's an impressive job being done in Anaheim.
Right, yeah, and although Bob Murray wasn't running the show during the Getzlaff, I mean, if you go far enough back to Getzlaff and Perry, you're talking about the Brian Murray era. But yeah, you're right. Bob Murray has been a big part of it. He's pals with Brian Burke, and Burkey brought him in when Burkey took over Anaheim, and they have done a really solid job. Because the one thing about Anaheim, and you know, it's too bad that Brian Burke isn't speaking in this series, because I know, like, I've requested him, and a few other people have, you know, and we don't want to distract from, you know, the argument is that, you know, that you don't want to distract from what's going on. But he does have a history here. He won a Stanley Cup here. A lot of the people that he put in place are still here. And I think it would just be an interesting view. I'd like to know if he still has his houses here. I know he had a couple of them, and it took him a long time to sell them. If he's sold them at all, I don't know if he's still a Southern California real estate baron or not. But Bob Murray's a good hockey man, and you say he doesn't get
what hair that's two times strong.
Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
Okay, no problem. But he was a finalist for General Manager of the Year last year, and I think that was, you know, he didn't win, but that was recognition long overdue. And he does do a really good job. The one thing about it is that he has a budget team. So as opposed to a lot of teams, like, you know, Calgary isn't spending to the cap, but they have an ownership that is prepared to spend to the cap if the management group deems that it's necessary. And I think there's probably 18 to 20 teams in the National Hockey League have that. You know, Anaheim doesn't. You know, Anaheim has a budget. You know, he has to vet every move that he makes through the budget and through the ownership. So, you know, like when he's taking a chance on Wisniewski, you got to take the Bork contract, because I got to get that contract off the book. You know, you bring in a Holzer, they got to take the Eric Brewer contract, because I got to get that off the book. So it's more complicated to run a budget team than it is to run a cap team. So you have to give him marks for being able to do that, because he has to satisfy ownership and still try to put a winning product. And I think, you know, you're talking about the draft, but think about the regular season. They haven't had the playoff success that they wanted since 2007. Although I think, you know, most teams would say that's, you know, a cup that's not that far in the rearview mirror. But, you know, they have been a consistently good regular season team for a long time. And I think in this market, you need that. You know, Los Angeles is a little bit more of a mature market. That team sells out. Anaheim, it fluctuates. I don't think that they necessarily, if they didn't have a winning team, if they were an average team or a team that missed the playoffs, I think you would see a drop off in attendance. So they can't afford to do that. So you're right. He's done a really good job of managing things on every level. He understands that he has to be a draft and develop team because he doesn't have the money to go out and get expensive free agents and had to swallow hard to sign Getzlaff and Perry to those contract extensions a couple of years ago. I was there the day that Getzlaff signed here a couple of years ago, and it was a lot of money. And I remember, Bob Murray's press conference. He said, the one thing that I've been advised, if you've got these guys and if they're cornerstone pieces and if you believe in them, you've got to sign them. And, whatever the money is, and then you just have to work around that. So that's, that's what, they have an organizational philosophy. They stick to it. And, in a situation like this year where it has kind of opened up for them, because I think that they were very, very happy that Calgary took out Los Angeles and they didn't have to play the Kings in the playoffs. I'm not sure how they're going to express that happiness to the Flames, but if you look at it as like a tennis draw, that the draw has kind of opened up for them this year. They probably feel that this is a really good chance to win a championship, and full marks to him.
Well, it would have been nice to be on that flight with you last night, Eric.
Well, you know what? It was pretty tight. Those little planes that they got flying down to L.A., you would not have been comfortable in there. And I had a very large man sitting in the seat beside me, and he looked uncomfortable for 3.5 hours. So.
What are you saying about Rhett, Eric?
Well, this guy was a lot larger than Rhett, it will be fun in the building today. I think it'll be a really good atmosphere. I think they've got this orange out thing going in Anaheim now. Yeah, you know that guy in that crazy T-shirt that you hated, Boomer? Everybody in the building will be looking fluorescent tonight. So, you may have to avert your eyes.
Perfect. Hey, now I know two land barons from Southern California. Thanks, Eric. Good to talk to you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Duhatchik is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Get into a 2015 Kia Sorento LX all-wheel drive and pay just $25,800 or finance for $79 weekly. Barlow and 23rd Northeast or eastsidekia.ca.
Quick break, back with what you want to talk about. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
For those of you waiting for the We've Got the Rooks, after 9 o'clock is what I'm told. So if you've been waiting to hear the new Flames anthem, We Got the Rooks, then just after 9 o'clock.
We can't be messing with the order now.
No, where's
seven? Wait, those guys, I think they got food in those boxes. Come on now.
No one knows what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Well, there's a bunch of people in the lobby, and it looks like they got some to-go boxes. I'm ready to dig in.
We got 7 minutes to do what you want to talk about.
Talk about. Talk about. Talk about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Save thousands on over 300 new vehicles at the Fleet Cancellation Special Purchase Event. You could win a $15,000 car of cash. Shop or geo shops. VarsityChrysler.com.
Whatever you want to talk about, 960, 960 on your mobile phone. Fire it through. We'll get to it between now and just a little bit after 9 o'clock. Guys, missed your picks for round two. What the bleep are they? Go to Pinder's page. Go to his fan club or whatever it is.
I've not tweeted it yet. I will tweet it. A reminder for everyone in our fantasy pool, get your second round stuff in.
I'm in.
Retro's got his done. There's no excuse for anyone else. If Rhett can get it done, you can too.
Well, this is making me sick. Cronwall did deserve a suspension. Principal point of contact was his head, and he left his feet. I'm not sure why yesterday they were debating this. Signed, Jesse. Well, we didn't talk about it at all this morning, Jesse, and I can't control what they do in the afternoon show. So if anything, you should feel great because we've just spent 4 hours not talking about it.
Fairly irrelevant now, isn't it? It's kind of like taking a penalty. Not very often do you skate over the box and the ref says, nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Bo Levi Mitchell and Keon Raymond throwing out the ceremonial first pitches for Babe Ruth Calgary Baseball's 20th year opening day celebrations this Sunday at Optimist Athletic Park.
Well, that's what you want to talk about. That's a good one there.
So there you go. You think Bo Levi knows how to throw a baseball?
Well, you thought Tom Brady would have too, though, hey? Remember that opening pitch? Whoa!
Yeah, that Brady.
Trilled it.
What a God almighty.
Tom Brady. What a loser.
The old gunslinger. He'll get a fastball down the pipe.
See, boom, there's the guy right there behind you with the food.
Retro's losing
his
mind.
I still can't see anybody. Can we stay focused? I've got a car flag from 04. I've had it on my car all playoffs. It's getting beat up. How do I get a new one? Buy one. I don't know.
Is it that hard? They're all over the bloody city.
Just stop by the station. We'll drop.
Yeah, we got a truckload full of them.
What's your address? We'll bring one over.
We'll bring one over for you. We'll bring it over.
What?
Does Aginla regret leaving Calgary? No.
We get that every day.
No, he does not.
Do you think the team's the same if he's here? Like,
no.
I told Pinder to shake his head earlier.
Yeah.
Everyone that thinks that, shake your head.
Rumors are that Stamkos wants to leave Tampa, and that's why he's not scoring goals. Right. Is that true?
That's horrible. Next.
What a bunch of shit that is.
Boy, he would have been fired up last night. Old Philip Esposito.
He doesn't want to leave.
Did Rhett lose his phone yet today?
Not yet. Can happen.
All right.
Still a few hours, still game time. He's got some time.
Pinder, I hope you hit your head when you fell off the bandwagon, you turncoat.
Yes, agreed.
Now, again, we made our picks. And
not too hard, but just a slight bump.
Yeah.
Just enough to cause a little bit of brain damage, but enough that I can still keep this job. That's probably a fine threshold.
What's up with Lance Boma? Injured.
Same every day.
Yeah.
Still injured.
Who's going to win the heart? Carey Price, Alexander Ovechkin, Jonathan Tavares.
No, it's not going to be Tavares.
Be hard. Sorry, Price.
Price.
I think Price.
Not often you see a goalie do it.
No, but.
Last time Jerome got screwed out of it, I think, was when a goalie won.
Yeah, from Montreal.
Didn't put him on the list.
Mark Logan from the Brooks Bandits did up a Flames Duck playoff song. It's called Hot Fire. Check it out on YouTube.
Boy, there's a lot of those.
I don't know.
No, I'm not spending my days.
Gosh, I'm busy and I'm tired.
We've got the Rooks. What else do we need?
You really hit a wall here, Boo.
Yeah, no, I've run out of gas in a hurry.
It's the 840 wall.
Yeah.
Full speed.
Beatrice milk or Dairyland milk? I've always been kind of partial to Beatrice. When I worked in the grocery store when I was in high school, it was always Beatrice.
I don't drink
Dairyland
milk.
People are mad at you.
You don't drink milk?
No.
What about Beep?
I love Beep.
Any Beep?
Mm.
You guys should extend the length of the segment. Thanks, signed Wayne. No, I don't think so.
We had to hatch a con.
You mean stay longer?
So our senior director sends out an email yesterday saying, wear anything red, jersey, hoodie, etc. My workplace is business formal. I wear my Flames t-shirt to work today, and now I'm being mocked profusely. Do I go home and put on my shirt and tie like everyone else?
Stand proud.
Gotta own it.
You know what you do? You get on top of your desk and say, what's wrong with the rest of you losers?
Thank you.
Show some pride, you losers.
That's what you do.
Where can I get a rocks?
And remember, next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
If you'd like.
Will we see Gio this series?
Retro?
No.
Hey, Pinder, Tom Brady is not the gunslinger.
I know. Bo Levi is. You missed it all.
My jersey is starting to stink.
Wash it?
Is it bad luck to wash it?
No.
One per round? You get a wash between
rounds?
How
can your jersey stink?
Seriously.
What are you doing?
How profusely are you sweating?
How much beer can you spill?
Well, I took some right down the back the other day at the game. It was a big celebration when
it happens. It happens.
When the staging goal went in.
Oh yeah.
It was like, yeah, and it was like, oh, that's not good. But you can't get mad. It's like, well, this is gonna be a long 4 minutes down the back of the seat.
Someone wants to know what the rest of your day looks like, Boomer. Hey, Boom, what's up for the rest of the day?
I could tell you.
Rhett, you want a shot at it?
I know exactly what will happen.
Okay.
Tell me.
By 9:30, he will have bought and ordered a bowl of soup. I'm not sure if he'll take it home or eat it at a restaurant, but it'll be down by 10:15, I'm guessing. 10:30, he is in the wrapper. With the pooch, lights out.
Dean?
And then probably around 4 o'clock, up and at him.
You know what? All of that is accurate.
Well done.
Mixed in there, it'll be soup, then sleep. Probably before 4 I'll get up, though. It'll be about a 2:45. Mm. I'll then grab my iPad and look at cars. For about 45 minutes.
Seriously, that was a tap-in.
I'll look at some Trans Ams and Corvettes for about 45 minutes. Then when I know it's absolutely, like my kids have been, are in the house and I've avoided them for as long as I can, I'll then meander out.
Hey.
And then I got kid baseball.
Carl.
So I'll sit on a lawn chair and watch the Caps and Rangers on Game Center Live on my phone and just crush cracked pepper spits. That's and then come home and somebody else can put the kids to bed.
You're watching the Flames game.
That's right.
Busy night.
Sounds like a good day, doesn't it? Hey, you're jealous.
Yes, that's what you want to do on a plus 17.
Are you coming
Thursday?
Are you coming for sleep? Soup, I mean.
No.
Are you coming for soup?
I'm going for breakfast. I found a breakfast spot. $7, whatever you order.
What?
What?
$7 for breakfast. Just around the corner. They'd actually delivered food here when I wasn't here. This restaurant.
You're going to make that 20-plus million earnings last for a while.
Sounds like a riot, Boom. Hey, you know what? Don't be jealous. Just, you know what?
Game day tradition, Boom. Just got to stick, got to roll with it, man.
I'd be fine if that works. Go Flames. If I can have soup and then sleep all afternoon and then shop for cars on Kijiji for like an hour and a half.
Woo!
Man.
I better win tonight.
If only that was an exaggeration. That is exactly what I'm going to do today. That's what you want to talk about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Save thousands on over 300 new vehicles at the Fleet Cancellation Special Purchase Event. You could win a $15,000 car of cash. Shop or geo shops. VarsityChrysler.com.
Have a good one, buddies. Enjoy it. Game one tonight. Looking forward to tomorrow already. And we'll be, again, tomorrow's the Friday show. Lots coming. Brunt, Friedman. Of course, Brunt in Vegas. For the big fight.
Oh, baby.
Looking forward to it. Coming up after 9, we said we'd do the We've Got the Rooks for you. And chasing a couple of other things for the Ryan Pinder experience.
Flames, wall to wall.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.